B-Pod Studios.
I tell you, I like that John Smoltz a lot.
He's awesome.
He really is good.
Yeah.
So, let me ask you, because I could be too close to this situation. Because I know Phil well, and I'm a big proponent of, like, Philadelphia basketball. I love basketball. I love the fact that we have such a rich history and tradition here in town. And so I think that those guys have done a great job as stewards at all the universities.
Yep.
Now, I was a Cheney guy, I'll tell you, and I liked Fran and Penn, and, you know, I think he worked hard, but was not a great success at Temple, and hoping that Aaron McKee can build and get back to what Cheney had done, where Temple was a top program.
Yeah, and Aaron as an alum.
So a buddy of mine, Tooch, and that, you know, I'm sure you're within a whole big text board of people.
Sure.
He said, much needed change in Philadelphia college basketball.
Regarding Martelli?
Yes.
Wow.
And I was surprised at that.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing some people tweeting in saying, it's 15 years too late for Phil. But I think you have to have self-awareness as a program. I think that's the point you're trying to make, too, earlier, is really important because it's not an easy recruit.
Yeah, like, I don't understand the criticism of Martelli. I mean, I thought he was a really good X and O guy, really good coach. You know, he's tried to recruit foreign players. Like, if you're like St. Joe, and you're at that small of a school, it's difficult. Like, you know, you're dealing with first of all, the big guys are paying everybody, like we know.
Yep.
All right. The guy, you got Jay in your backyard who's doing it right and who is like a behemoth and now has built something that you'll never get the player that you can't compete with Villanova.
No, it's an immovable force at this point.
Because they are on that spot.
Yeah.
As much as you want to talk about Holy War, there's one, they're more powerful.
Yeah.
You're saying, Joe, how are you supposed to get talent? You got to get lucky like they did with Jameer Nelson, Delonte West. And you got to go, and you got to be able to get a kid that wants to stay home, that's from Philadelphia, and stay here. Maybe get a couple foreign kids that you're able to, you know, unearth
and cobble something
from
together.
Lithuania, right? And that's the only way, and make a run. But you're not building some sustained program at St. Joe.
Yeah, and that's the we say it all the time in sports, and you and I are against this line of thinking. Well, if not him, who? You got to figure out who's going to be a better steward of that basketball program.
I
don't know.
Listen, you know, there's a guy I think that could be a really good coach. But Phil, to me, there's a degree of kind of loyalty. Like, he brought them to heights in a modern day, which is, you know, about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
A little bit more. Where they had their run. It was a big run, big time run.
It was a huge story. Were they number one in the country at one point, too, if I recall, coming down like in February? I mean, that was an incredible. 2004 was the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was incredible what they did. They captured this city because they were the little school that could.
Yeah, that's my point.
And great card
and
play.
And he never rolled when he had the opportunity.
And he could have at that point. He could have said, hey, this is my springboard to a huge payday and a bigger program.
I guess my point is, I don't know. Like, what is he? Like, are you going to do better? Like, what's he done that's not been good?
Yeah. Well, apparently there's a new athletic director or an AD or director of athletics or whatever they call it now that's calling the shots. And a lot of times those people want to bring in, they want to set their own.
Yeah, and you know what happens? They fail.
Yeah, and then the AD's gone.
Right, they fail. I know, we're going to bring in so-and-so, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, they do a nice presentation to sell it to the board members and everything, and then it doesn't work. And then you're going, now you're scrambling. And you're going to end up with many years of the program stepping back and not moving forward. 610-632-0975. Yeah, I was shocked to hear that today. Was not expecting that at all. Joe Imperkasy is on the Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys? Hey, number one, great interview with Smoltz. Smoltz, I should say. Great interview.
Thanks, Joe. What do you think about Phil?
Well, that's why I called. Bad karma. You fired a coach at St. Joe's on St. Joseph's Day?
Today's St. Joseph's Day. Wow, I forgot about that.
And they can't fill on St. Joseph's Day.
Oh, my God.
364 other days in the year, and they can't.
That's a violation.
Oh, that's bad karma.
You know, St. Joseph's cake for St. Joseph's University.
Well, apparently, they actually fired him yesterday on the eve, but today it was announced. But I get your point. I'm being.
No, man, St. Joseph's cake.
Yeah.
I did not know that. But still, I mean, and you're right. Where do you go from here? I mean, he was the face of the university, and, you know, off he goes. I mean, you could put the president and the AD in a lineup. Nobody could pick him out, and you let the face of the university go. I mean, I understand, you know, he wasn't winning. He put people in the NBA, though, and he's doing it with one hand tied behind his back because of what other universities are doing.
Well, that, yeah, and look, when people that want to come here, recruits want to come to Philadelphia, he's not exactly at the top of the pecking order.
Exactly.
Little so Jesuit school on City Line Avenue, you know what I mean?
Right. So that kind of goes to what you guys were saying, you know, as far as, it's, I don't want to say it's not a high-profile job. I guess compared to Villanova, it isn't.
He made it a high-profile job, though. His profile made it high, as high as it could be.
Yes, exactly. But, I mean, if you're looking to stay and you're in Philadelphia, you know, and Villanova comes knocking, where are you going to go?
Yeah, that's the point. It's a tough sell, St. Joe. You know, it's a clear pecking order of Villanova, Temple, then St. Joe, then LaSalle. I mean, that's kind of the pecking order.
And Drexel and Penn.
Absolutely.
Well, Penn's on its own.
Yeah.
So does he land anywhere, do you think?
No, I think he goes to ESPN.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's up an analyst chair.
I mean, that's what makes sense to me. I mean, he's got the personality, self-deprecating. He's a great analyst, knows the game. You know, he could do that.
Great talker.
Yeah, he said he's 64. He could do that. Look, we talked about Yubi. Phil could do it for 20 years.
He'd be a great in-game analyst.
That's the point.
Yeah.
He'd be great at
it. Not just a studio. He could be a studio analyst.
The
world's open to him.
To me, he's better as
reacting.
Look, I got to tell you, I watch a lot of his tournament games. And the analysts in the tournament, a lot of them are weak. They got some bottom dwellers.
Mm-hmm.
Phil would be really good.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe that's what the future holds for him. We'll see. He's going to have options, though. We know that. Because he is a guy that's had a good relationship with the media, both local, nationally, and everything. And has done some things that are big enough that where people would know who he is. And I think he'd be a tremendous color analyst during a game.
Yeah, well, college he's quick on his feet. He's a great talker. The game, and he can get you one-liners.
Yeah, a no-nonsense kind of approach. Yeah, maybe that's where he goes. But I thought that I didn't like the fact that they didn't allow him maybe to step down. Maybe he said no
to
that.
That's a big deal at St. Joseph's then. That's a big deal. You can't poo-poo to St. Joseph's.
Yeah.
You ever had the St. Joseph's cake?
The feast?
No, it's St. Joseph's cakes. They have the cakes.
I don't know what they are.
You don't know what St. Joseph's cakes are?
I don't know what call.
Yeah, you, Andrew?
No, I'm out.
I have no idea. He knows the tasty cake or the Drake's cake.
Love tasty cake, Tom.
There you go. 610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez here on The Fanatic. I have to tell you about Natural Lawn because spring is upon us. I think tomorrow is the official start of spring, as a matter of fact. So our winter will be officially in the books, which means it's time to get outside and get out in the yard. And when you get out in the yard, you want to make sure your kids are running around and it's safe and what you put on your lawn is safe. But that usually comes at the expense of keeping it really green and healthy. Well, Natural Lawn in America, they use safer organic-based lawn care products that actually reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. And with Natural Lawn, you don't have to sacrifice beauty for safety. So you're going to get a greener lawn and you don't have to be worried about your kids running around in it. For over 25 years, Natural Lawn, they've been recognized as the leader in organic-based lawn care. And for many years, as I can remember, Mikey Miss has always been telling me, yeah, you're a yard guy. You got to make sure you use Natural Lawn. So whether you live in PA or New Jersey, Natural Lawn's customized treatments will give you the lush green lawn you've always wanted. And for a limited time, Natural Lawn, they are offering a $100 off their full service program. That's $100 off. So call Natural Lawn today for a greener lawn with fewer weeds and tell them Jason sent you. Here is the number, 855-LAWN-CARE. That's 855-LAWN-CARE. Natural Lawn of America, greener grass, fewer weeds guaranteed.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Earlier today with Gargano and Mertedis.
According to Jeff Passan, ESPN, the Angels and Mike Trout are about to finalize a record deal, Jason.
That's a huge loss.
12-year contract, and worth more than $430 million.
Hey, we got breaking news. Phil Martelli has that been fired?
Whoa!
By St. Joe's. Wow.
Are you kidding me?
Phil, who has been the coach of St. Joe's since 1995, was informed Monday.
That show recap was brought to you by Dietz and Watson's Real Philly Deli Hoagie Guide. With your chance to win great prizes just for eating delicious hoagies from the area's best Real Philly delis. Visit RealPhillyDeli.com. Now, here are Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertedis.
Hello, you know who I am?
That's right.
Anthony!
Phil's fired. Shake-up, stunning shake-up by the Joe on St. Joseph's Day.
Crazy.
I showed you Mr. Tony set of pictures of the St. Joseph's cake. The cakes, the little cakes.
Now, is that an airy type pastry or is that a heavy cake kind of?
I don't do the pastries. No? So, no.
It looks like it's a little, like more of an airy type.
But it's a cream.
Thing.
It's a cream in the inside.
And that's a cherry on top and some confectionate sugar.
Yes, it's Mr. Tony.
Right. Love Mr. Tony.
Mr. Tony rules.
Yeah.
It's St. Joseph's cake. It's a pretty stunning day.
Yeah.
Pretty stunning event.
On a lot of fronts, including Mike Trout.
I wasn't expecting him, the extension to come down this soon after the Harper thing.
We didn't even hear about discussions of an extension. And, you know.
So cross him off the list, something we'll never see.
Let me give you two tweets here by Bob Nightingale, our buddy from USA Today, covers Major League Baseball. He says, Mike Trout loves the Angels and never was remotely interested in leaving and proves it by agreeing in principle to the new contract. And he also says, Mike Trout's new Angels deal, which won't be finalized for about 48 hours, is actually a 10-year, $363.5 million extension that starts in 2021. He will still be paid $33.25 million for the next 2 years under his existing contract. Full no trade, no opt-outs. So 12 years in length from now is what he's committed to.
So he gets $33 million the way that contract was written?
Yeah. Well, it's a 10-year. Well, that's his existing deal that he signed back.
No,
in
I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. $33 million a year.
Yeah, $33 million a year that he signed back in 2014.
And then it's 10 years, 360.
363.5 million.
So then he goes up to 36 average.
Yeah. Inflation, man. 3%.
No, I actually thought it's light.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Yeah. Wow, it's a lot. It's a lot of fazools, as Stevie used to say. That's right, my boy. A lot of fuzzles there. You have no problem picking up a dinner tab or two. Amazing stuff. And Mike Trout not coming to the East Coast. And, you know, it's interesting because we wanted him, obviously, here in Philadelphia for all the reasons that have been well documented. He's from Millville, big Eagle fan, friends with Carson Wentz, was at a Sixers game a few weeks ago. All of those reasons. But and we wanted him here because we want to see him play every day. And he's going to be out there, and you wonder how much that, A, it affects his endorsement deals being out there, and B, just awareness of the great player that he is. I think that there's a lot of people on this side of the country that don't realize, you know, fringe baseball fans, that don't realize the historic numbers that he's already produced at 27. It's amazing.
It's unbelievable. What they've done is incredible. Yeah. I mean, what he's done. As he's Mickey Mantle. You know, it's a shame. We talked about it earlier. We don't get a chance to watch him. He's our hometown kid, basically.
Yeah.
And you don't get a chance to watch him.
And it feels like he's a million miles away, not just across the country.
I know. Yeah. But that's the difference between baseball and the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it doesn't matter that the Golden State Warriors. Watch the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah, if a guy from Philadelphia, whether that was Rasheed Wallace from Simon Gratz or Rip Hamilton from Coatesville, when Rip played for Detroit, you watched him. And when Rasheed played in the NBA, you watched him.
Wow, Rasheed Wallace. Did you see what he's doing now?
No.
Is he coaching a high school team?
Really?
Is that what I saw?
But what is he telling him how not to get texts? How not to get
Rasheed's
teed up?
Rasheed's a man.
He would get teched. He'd get teed up more than anybody.
Yeah. Right. He is coaching a high school team. Here it is. At Jordan. It's in North Carolina. Jordan High School.
Oh, so he settled down there. Of course, he went to North Carolina.
Right.
Wow.
So he's going to, it's amazing.
He's a high school coach. How old is he now?
Sheed?
Yeah, is he like 40?
He's like
40.
Late, no, he's a little later than 40.
He's younger than I.
Not much.
Really? I thought he was like at least
right,
like
he's 7 years. Yeah.
Oh, Rasheed Wallace is 44. So I got 2 years and change on him.
So that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
How about that he's going to go to Jordan High School? Jordan High School boys basketball team was 7-17.
Oh, boy. They might want to find a new line of work.
Like Phil Martin. It's amazing. Like the idea of you have to win at all these levels it's absurd.
It's the only thing that matters. You got to win. You got to produce. Like if Brett Brown doesn't produce, bye-bye.
Well, that's different. That's you should hold him to that standard.
Yeah.
That's a professional. But you look at St. Joe's. Like, what do you... Seriously?
Yeah, what do you expect him to
be? What do you think you should be?
Yeah, top 25 team every year? Not going to happen. It's once a decade where they crack the top 25 and go on a run. 610-632-0975. Dick Girardi going to join us?
Yes, he is at 110.
Okay. And Dick will have some insight, obviously, on Phil Martelli and tournament time.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It's 8 days.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ryan and Ben Salem on the Fanatic. What's up, Ryan?
What up, Jay? What up, kid?
What
Yo,
up?
I think this whole thing with the Phillies thing is kind of funny because if there's any gamers out there listening, I think the Phillies are laughing at this because they're definitely not playing Fortnite anymore. They're probably playing Apex Legends. That's the new kid on the block. But let me just ramble real quick to give like context to like video games or I think but the older generations that kind of don't get it. I'm 27, and where you say you grew up in the OG days of gaming, I grew up in the golden era of gaming when Xbox Live and everything first came out,
right.
Party chats, being able to hang out with everybody. And I eventually think esports is going to take over regular sports because of one thing, inclusivity. Because
inclusiveness,
Yeah, anybody can play. It doesn't matter your religion, your race, your credo, your sex, it doesn't matter. You can be any. All it matters is can you play? You know what I mean? And I think a lot of.
Let me ask you a question. How's that different than sports?
If I'm born 5'8", and can I make it to the NBA?
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you're saying it doesn't matter your skill
level.
Limitations.
Well, because race, creed, or anything else doesn't matter.
Physicality. Sure, I'm just saying. It's just like, but like whatever body you're born into, you're kind of stuck. And my little brother, let me put it to you this way, right? Like my little brother's 14 years old. And what he loves most about video games is, like, he told my dad, he goes, Dad, I can be anybody in there. I can't be anyone. I want to be out here.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
That's bleeped up. What about...
No, but
think about it. I could be anybody. Well, why don't you be yourself?
Well, no. I understand that, but I mean...
I don't know. I'm not that much older than you. I understand why you want to play, and I get what you said, but... The idea of wanting to be, you know, Kobe Bryant, well, go be yourself in some, you know, whatever it is.
Whatever your passion is.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but I think like my little brother too, like I try to watch sports with him, you know what I mean? And he doesn't like watching sports because in his mind, his perspective, which I respect, is he's like, if I'm not doing it, then why would I watch it? And I think a lot of older generations.
Does he watch the guys playing video games?
I'm going to touch on that right now. I think a lot of older generations, right? I think they like to clown the younger generations for wanting to watching video games and do that. But see, here's the difference in my mind is that what's the one thing you learn in every sport, whether it's shooting a ball, shooting a three, hitting the ball, anything, slapping a slap shot? What's your coach tell you? Visualize it. So it's basically like when kids are watching these professional gamers that are so much better than them. They're visualizing.
Because they want to emulate what they see. They see the best. I get it. I get the thinking in it, but...
But how is that compared to watching a basketball game. Like, why, like I watch a basketball game because I watch a basketball game. I admire the athlete. I love the sport.
Yeah.
All right? Even though I don't play as much as anymore, or can't, or never play at a certain level.
But it allows you because you know what they can do.
I know the sport inside and out. I love the sport. It's a passion. Yeah. So I don't really care that you watch somebody play the video game. But we all know that part of the video game, like look at Fortnite. You got to go in and you got to buy in-game purchases. Because there's only certain levels that you can get to without all the bells and whistles. It's still created by man.
Yeah, and Fortnite's just an upsell. They give you the platform, and then
I'm not downing it because it's a passion. It's whatever. You know, but it's still a... It's not real sports. It's real sports takes real talent, real athleticism.
Yeah. Well, you see, like, they have the esports arenas. They have...
Yes.
Madden,
I have friends of mine who have it on North 3rd Street. Yep. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it is a huge thing. And look, as a company, as a broadcasting company, our company is trying to figure out how to deal with it, too. They're in partnership with esports. And we have a program on this radio station every weekend called Checkpoint Radio that discusses it. Now, I'm not well-versed enough in it. I played video games and played sports games, and you talk smack to the guy next to you that I'm going to make your guy bleed, and I hit you, and I'm going to beat you in whatever your game you're playing, but... It didn't sink its hooks into me like it has a lot of people.
Yeah, well, listen, but I was laughing about the OG thing because it's true. We were exposed to games that, I mean, I loved it. But don't get me wrong. Like, I loved being Gretzky and loved being DeSean Jackson taking a pump back.
Yep.
It was, you know, speed was ridiculous. But, come on. Now, these games are so much more sophisticated. They easily trap you.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that.
Because they manipulate your brain sensors.
Yeah, no, no question about it. Where all this is going to go and where these... I could have never imagined way back when that games could be like they are now.
Listen,
yeah.
I could totally see it.
Yeah.
I could totally see esports... It's selling out arenas in China.
Yeah, here too. And the thing is too, and you know, these kids now, like, you can sit there and say, get off the video games, do something productive. Well, there's guys making millions of dollars. The purse for, somebody tweeted to me, it's $30 million is the purse for, I forget, I guess it's Fortnite, for like the Fortnite champion. The purse is $30 million. I mean, there's real money to be made here. All right, here it is. Alex, tweeted, this year's World Cup of Fortnite has a total purse of $30 million. Esports are a massive emerging world market. Some kids are literally trying to become professional video game players. He goes, I play it, but in moderation, I'm 38 years old. It's an enormous thing. I mean, we started out on Space Invaders and Missile Command and Asteroids. And when Pitfall came out, that was like, whoa, look at this game jumping on the heads of alligators. And then Mario Brothers.
Pitfall.
Remember Pitfall, the original?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I mean, that was like the huge game.
I do remember Pitfall. That's hysterical.
And, you know, it started with Atari and Nintendo came in and then all these other devices, the Cube, and all over the years. And these games are incredible now. It's big business.
Yeah.
Let's go to Cash in Mount Airy. What's up, Cash?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I have to disagree with you, Anthony, and I normally agree with you, man. You're my buddy, man. Since you were on other radio station, I should always listen to you. I'm disagreeing this time.
Sure.
You hear me? This is a huge game coming up. And I'm going to tell you why it's a huge game coming up. I don't care if we beat Milwaukee. I don't care if we beat Golden State. This is Boston. And I'm going to tell you, they got to get over a hump with Boston psychologically. You know, I don't even care.
That's where I'm at, Cash.
Athleticism or how good of a team the Sixers are. We already know they're a talented team from center to the point guard position. All over the starting five. But, Anthony, they got to beat this team tomorrow. You know,
listen, I get you. You're right. I hear what you're definitely what you're saying. I don't really disagree with you. When I was making the point about Milwaukee, I felt the fact that they were able to beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee really kind of showed that they had, we knew they were talented, but now they played together and they won a big game on the road. So I thought that was a big deal.
I agree with you on that. It does show that how talented they are. We know that. They are very talented. But it's a psychological thing with Boston, man. Mm-hmm. They got to beat Boston. I'm telling you.
No, I hear you, Cash.
I see them going to the East Finals because they got over that hump.
Yeah,
but
you're right.
To lose to Boston again would be devastating because you lost to them all year long.
Yeah, you're right.
It takes everything else that you do. So this is a monster game.
Yeah, you guys are right. I think you guys are right. I'll go to your side.
Come on, Anthony.
I think you guys are right. I admit it. I think you guys are right. Make good points.
And then you got that little turd talking crazy about Embiid, man. Listen.
Who?
We got to beat them, man. I'm telling you.
Who's talking crazy about Embiid?
Terry Rozier. You didn't hear the interview yet with the girl from Fox?
No.
No.
Yeah, he was saying call Embiid a chump. Or Lane.
Rozier?
When was this? Wow. Just in the last day?
This was today or yesterday. He had an interview with the girl from Fox.
I gotta tell you, man.
The herd.
Cash. I don't dig that, man.
Yeah, and he called her and she asked him. She said, listen, she said, what's your first impression or first thing you think about when you say the name Embiid? And he said, Lane.
Oh.
I respect his own game, his own court game, but he talks a lot of trash. And she asked me, she said, well, you don't talk trash? He said, yeah, back in my day. Dude, you're 25 years old.
Yeah, he's a J.O.
Back in your day.
Get out of here.
Lame. Called him lame. All right.
Yeah.
I'm digging it up.
Okay. Listen, I put Cash in there for the caller of the week.
Yeah, Cash goes in then. Andrew, put Cash in the mix for caller of the week, which we'll determine on Friday. $200 gift certificate to Golden Nugget Jewelry.
No, you guys, listen, you guys are right. You make a great point, and you started it, Jason, talking about Boston. And
yep.
maybe I looked at Milwaukee as too much, because I looked at it and went, that was such a good win that I feel great about it. Like, did they could play like that really means a lot. I think they're better than Boston. See, I really think they're better than Boston. If they don't beat Boston in the regular season, if they lost tomorrow, I would be disappointed. But I still would expect them to beat Boston.
Yeah, see, I'm one of the...
Does that make sense? Like, I think they're way more talented than Boston.
Yeah, and it looks that way this year, and Boston's had a lot of peaks
and valleys. Boston's not that good.
Yeah. But it's the fact that they were favored last year against Boston in the second round.
Yeah, but you got Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris.
I know, but they still haven't beaten Boston this year with Kyrie. You know?
I'm telling you, they're a better team than the Celtics. They are. I expect them to beat the Celtics.
All right, let's stoke the rivalry right now. This is Terry Rozier talking about Joel Embiid.
It is time now for first and 10. First word that comes to mind when I say Joel Embiid.
Lame.
Why is that?
Just do a lot of talking.
Ah.
I respect his own court game. Just do a lot of talking.
Do you talk trash, though?
I wouldn't say I talk trash. Back in my day, I used to talk a lot of trash.
Okay.
But now I just, you know, I try to go out there and get the job done. But if you say something to me, then I won't stop.
Lame, he goes. Terry Rozier.
Give me a break. Back in my day.
I'm looking up
Shut
to see
up.
How old he is right now.
Shut up.
He's 25. Dude, back in your day was 6 minutes ago.
Come on, man.
He was talking with, by the way, I know you were asking, with Christine Leahy on a 30-minute single guest interview that they're going to air with Rozier. He also said he tried to punch me twice.
What show is this?
I guess they're doing, I think it's on CBS. Yeah. Oh, no, it's on FS1's Fair Game with Christine Leahy. So he also said, you know, he does a lot of talking. I respect it, but he do a lot of talking. There's an on-court history here. Rozier and Embiid got into a shoving match during Game 4 of last year's second-round matchup.
Yeah, I remember.
The post-game jab from
Embiid. He's a little runt.
Embiid said last year, he tried to punch me twice, but too bad he's so short he couldn't get to my face.
That's great.
Joe's just trolling
listen,
all these dudes.
Listen, you and Cash are right. I hope the Celtics... I hope they, you know, crush. Obviously, you know, I hope they crush.
I think there's a mental block there.
Were you the top five guys? My number one guy is Bird. I could give you five Celtics that I've hated that, you know, I wish they were on the Sixers, but that I've hated with all kinds of might.
Okay, so Bird.
Like KG.
Yeah, Paul Pierce.
Yeah, well, he should have been here.
I know a guy that's not on your list. Danny Ainge.
No. He's not on my list.
You wouldn't even want him here.
No, I hate him.
You couldn't stand to see that
face. I hate that Celtics team to death. I hate them.
Yeah.
My only point is I think they're better than them, and I'm not going to get freaked. Maybe this is just me protecting myself, but I'm not getting
like
freaked
a little bit.
If they lose.
6-1.
I saw them Sunday put together a game like that. They could do that in the playoffs. That's how they have to play.
See, to me, this game isn't about the player versus player. It's about Brett Brown dealing with Brad Stevens.
Listen, that is what it is.
It's been a problem. 610-632-0975. Coming up top of the hour, we've got Bring the Heat. We'll deliver a Top 5 Tuesday list as well. And we got one open line. Somebody just dropped off. 610-632-0975. Here's Anthony Gargano.
All right, let me tell you about the uncles over at Family Chrysler Dodge Ram. If you're in the market for a new vehicle and you go, I got to get a new car, new truck, new Jeep. Well, guess what? The Jeep that you've always wanted is available right now. The Jeep 4x4 Ram pickup, you can save up to 30% on a new truck, van, or Jeep. Savings up to $15,000. Only in Family, get the lowest prices, plus oil changes, state inspections, and a loaner card, no charge. Your buying experience is always fun, fast, and friendly with the uncles. Yes, you get the best service after the sale. Go see Uncle Greg, Uncle Paul. They're down there. They'll give you some St. Joseph cake. Philadelphia's original Jeep dealer. The Jeep Freedom Day, save 30%. Just remember, at Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you're more than a customer. Yes, your family. In the Philadelphia Airport Auto Mall, online anytime at familyautos.com. See dealer for details.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hello.
Get some water.
Wow, this Rozier is a creep.
I'm responding to a tweet of his right now.
I just hate him. Just hate those. I hate that team. I hate everything about it. However, all right. So Tyrone comes in here, and he says, "I agree with you." I said, "Well, I kind of just agreed with Jason and Cash." He said, "No." He goes, "I agree with you about Boston. It's not going to shake them."
What do you mean?
My premise is this. My premise is they lost last year because they didn't have the talent that they had this year, right? Adding Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. So if you have that kind of talent, you should win.
Well, they were favored last year.
You have more talent, but they weren't ready to win last
year. They didn't even have Kyrie.
Doesn't matter. They were a better defensive team without Kyrie.
Well, they were a better coach team without Kyrie.
They were also, if you look at last year, the Sixers weren't ready to win. Listen, I think you're right about Brett Brown, and he got completely outcoached in the series.
Yeah.
But there's no way they should lose to Boston this year in the playoffs. If they play again, there's no way they should lose. In fact, Tyrone went as far as to say he would sit JJ on the because it's the back of a it's the back the back to back.
He's gonna rest a guy tomorrow night.
He would rest JJ Redick because I do agree. We're worried about his legs.
Yeah, and he needs his legs for both because he's running off 9 million screens and obviously he needs the legs for the shot. He's gonna look like he got a little dead leg to you.
Yeah, and listen, I wouldn't sit him tomorrow night. Like, I'm not going to throw away the game. Not that sitting him's throwing away the game, but I want to go in full capacity against the Celtics.
I tell you, you and Ty, self-protection mechanisms over here. Downplaying that game. Tyrone.
Listen, I'm not downplaying it.
All right, well, then sit JJ on Saturday against Atlanta.
I will. I agree with you. Yeah. I'm playing him.
Yeah, you're playing him.
I'm playing them. You guys make already. You already got me. I admitted that you and Cash were right about that. My only point is that the Celtics are good, but I think the Sixers are much better.
Okay, look,
they should not lose to them in the playoffs. Look, like I think Toronto is a tough matchup. The Celtics, they're better than the Celtics.
Well, and I'll give you some credit because you had some self-awareness and maybe I'm just doing self-protection. Because you come out of that Bucks game and you go, all right, I'm good. I know they can do that. So I don't want anything to tamper.
I saw Jimmy Butler do what I need him to do in the playoffs. If they play like they played Sunday, they're going
to
win.
Okay, well, they got another opportunity to show that they can do it again. And to do it against a team that they have a mental block against. I think it's a huge game. And yeah, you can rest JJ against Atlanta or Orlando on the road trip coming up. I'm good. I expect more out of Tyrone. Frankly, I'm a little disappointed in that mentality out of him. Sixers outsiders, I watch it all the time.
All right. Ty, come here, first of all.
So you
want
to go with the full compliment?
I would like to do the daily Tyrone visit. You know, you and I have been talking sports for a long time.
Yeah.
We're good friends. You have done a great job on the Mike Bisignelli show.
Thank you.
You can also preview the Mike Miss show. What do you got today?
I believe when we talk about this Trout thing, a lot of people call Mike basically saying that Trout didn't care about money and wanted to be here and wanted to live in Millville. And now there's their chance to perhaps call Mike and say, perhaps a guy might care about $430 million and Philadelphia, while nice, $430 million is a lot of money. Perhaps they can have a chance to say that. Let's see if they have stones to doing that.
To Mike baiting people into saying that.
I hope that they should admit that.
They should. I agree.
That's kind of their duty.
Well, you're right. People called for months saying, he wants to be here.
I was with Mike, and they busted our stones about it. Right.
And I'm noticing there's not a lot of people calling in. And this is a new rule. I just think when people are wrong, I don't want people to grovel or anything.
I agree.
A simple my bad.
All right. Well, that's got to start with Mike.
What did Mike say?
Well, Mike's wrong.
He's not right
with those two words.
He was right
about
this, though.
I know he's right about this, but you know what I'm saying. I'm being...
Well...
You ain't got an easy job.
You should talk to Mike about that.
Oh, I have. That's why I invented the Mikey Miss trap door. But that's a story for another day.
Yes.
All right, so you'd be fine with them sitting JJ tomorrow night at home against the Celts.
Yeah, it's the second of a back-to-back. I'm not making the Celtics the boogeyman. And I don't think that... And I think that... forcing everybody to be on deck is making them into being the boogeyman. I don't think it's a mental block. I honestly think the Celtics beat them, one, because they were more talented, and two, because the coach was better.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a mental situation. Now that the talent's better, and you most likely won't see them in the playoffs, I don't see this need to where if I think my 34-year-old two-guard needs a blow,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to give it to him. And I'm not going to force him in just because it's the Celtics.
So you're not going all in on that game. And you almost want to minimize it in a way.
Right.
Because you may not see him, and you don't want to play up the fact that they've had a lack of success against Brad Stevens and Celtics.
Right.
Okay, I understand that line.
That's what I mean. It's not that it's not protecting myself at all. Toronto is still that's the boogeyman for me, and unfortunately, this version of the roster won't see them until the second round of the playoffs, most likely. That's the team I'm actually afraid of.
Anthony's talked about that as well.
I'm afraid of that Raptors team.
Well, by the way, they're a tougher matchup.
Yeah.
They're just a tougher matchup. They play half-court style. They can do it. Kawhi is a nasty, nasty dude. They know how to defend. That's the bad matchup for the Sixers.
Right. And they can throw a bunch of long bodies at both Ben and Joel with Siakam and Ibaka and Kawhi. So to me,
they run them at you.
Right. And they just keep. And now Gasol, even if he's your ninth man, that's a hell of a ninth man.
No, they're deep. I've said that to Jason a million times. And to me, the Raptors are the toughest team. Now, I was curious about Milwaukee and how they would match up. Milwaukee likes to run. That plays best in Sixers to the Sixers, who are pace people.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, Toronto slows it down. The Sixers don't want to slow it down. That's not Brett.
No, you're absolutely right. They don't want to slow it down. And the gap between their first and second player, as good as Middleton is huge. The gap with the Sixers from first, second, as great as Embiid is, Simmons is still a great player. Butler's still a great player. Tobias is really good. The drop-off from the Greek Freak to Middleton to Brogdon, even if he's back, is large enough to where
They're good. They got players.
They got players. What I'm saying is, in a playoff series, if he doesn't get 50, the Sixers can win that series.
Yeah, listen, I like the Sixers in that series. I like the Sixers in that series. And I like the Sixers against the Celtics.
I do too, but the Raptors are scary for me.
Yes. So we're on the same page. Now, the Boston thing, God forbid, if they lose to Boston, it's because of Brett Brown.
Yeah. Well, look at last year. Do we all kind of agree that last year they lost because Brad Stevens did a great job?
Well, that's they also were more talented, though.
They didn't have Kyrie.
Ilyasova and Bellinelli were terrible. They were great for that 16.
I'll be honest with you. I thought the Sixers should have won that game. They won that series.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have Kyrie.
He got outcoached.
Tatum went off.
He didn't just get outcoached. He got undressed.
He got outcoached. They were up by 20 in one of those games. They were favored in every single game of the series.
Exactly. Yep. And the point is when you look at it, yeah, like, I agree that they're a better defensive team, but that, like, they, I put it more on. I think the Sixers had just as much talent as Boston did.
That's where I disagree.
I thought, who you got other than Tatum?
Tatum. I thought Brown was a tough matchup for. It was a tough matchup for when you went to the bench.
Because they were just with Ben and Embiid. That negates Tatum and
Covington,
Brown and
Covington
whatever
you was. You couldn't play him. He was horrendous.
I agree.
And Dario, as much as he gave you on offense, he gave away so much on defense.
Not being able to move last year. I disagree. I just think it was more that they got outcoached and they weren't ready. Like, they weren't ready. Like they were. Like, you had Ben Simmons out there. They're sagging on him. That was the first time he actually had seen it. And he didn't know what to do.
And Embiid was wearing the mask.
Yeah, I just thought it was a product of Green and a product of bad coaching. So now, there's no way in the world they should lose to Boston.
And it is, you're right, a playoff series. Plus, you coming off that game on Sunday, you're asking them to beat the Bucks and the Celtics 2 out of 3 games. That's hard for any team, whether it's the Warriors, the Raptors. That's actually a tall ask for almost anyone.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not going to lose my mind. If they were to lose, I still expect them, by the way, to win that game tomorrow.
Well, they should.
Even if you sit Reddick, you start Ennis.
Well, but he's not going to sit.
But I don't think he's going to sit him. More likely, Saturday against the Hawks.
I wouldn't sit JJ there. I'm not doing that. I'm going to go. I want to kick ass tomorrow night. I want to kick ass tomorrow night. Now, if they lose, you know, I'm not going to be completely devastated. I'll be upset. No, I don't know. Am I protecting myself, Jason?
Maybe a little bit. Because you want to take the Milwaukee feeling and just ride it all the way in.
I do.
I get why.
All it did was show me that they have the most talent in the East.
Yeah, I want to know if that was an isolated incident or not.
Ty, Jimmy Butler, like, that's all I needed to see. Like, I'm ready to shut it down and go in the playoffs now.
I honestly wish we could just fast forward to the second round of the playoffs. We know what the matchups are going to be. It's going to be Bucks-Celtics. It's going to be Raptors-Sixers. Let's just play. There's not going to be any upsets. Like, I wish we could just fast forward to that second round. Because then you honestly don't know what can happen. The Bucks give the Celtics trouble, but the Sixers, like, wouldn't have as much. It's weird. The matchups are weird then.
I'm upset. The only thing I'm upset is I don't want the Raptors in the second round.
Nothing you can do.
This is the way it's seeded.
Your only thing you can hope for is to catch them by going on a crazy streak and get game 7 here.
Yeah.
That's about the only. You're not going to be able to avoid them.
No.
Celtics aren't going to win enough.
No.
Because technically, I guess in theory, it'd be better to be the 4.
It really
would. Pacers in the first round, play the Bucks in the second round.
Yeah.
Then you get.
It's funny because we always talked about the three seed. But quite frankly,
4 would be better.
4 would be better.
And then you would play.
You can't catch the Raptors. I mean, they're four and a half back.
It's just impossible. So it is what it is.
All right. By the way, Mikey Miss texted me and says, name 3 times where I was wrong, you ingrate. He can't say I was wrong. All right, Ty. Thanks.
Thanks, and you guys. We should set you two guys on a special day one day. Set an hour aside with like a mediator, and let you guys hash that out. I feel like it has never been hashed out.
All right,
you
guys,
we hashed it out for 4 hours a day for 5 years.
No. Like with an expert.
I offered to mediate.
You're not an expert.
I think they need an expert mediator. Hash this out for 1 hour.
Be more entertaining because
I'm always up for it.
I would stir.
I love debating, Michael.
You would stir. That's what I don't want to happen.
That would be awesome.
Unstirred.
Yeah, Ty wants to settle all family business. You want to create more.
You want to make it worse. It's going to be all of a sudden the family.
You
want to
put me on a boat with Fredo.
Right.
No. I just think it would be hysterical.
Thanks, Ty. You're here with the Mike Miss Show coming up at 2:00. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia.
I'm afraid of you guys.
You want me to get some more angst going.
No, I appreciate it.
It's fun for you on the outside looking in.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.